From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Jokowi says COVID-19 vaccination simulation should be conducted optimally. Trump finally gives his administration green light to proceed with Biden transition. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo instructed related ministries and agencies to most favorably conduct nationwide COVID-19 vaccination simulation before the government's first phase of the COVID-19 vaccination program, scheduled in the third week of December 2020. As reported by Antara News Agency, the President at a limited cabinet meeting on Monday stated that he observed the COVID-19 vaccination simulation at the Tanah Serial Public Health Center in Bogor City on November 18, 2020. It has run well and he wants it to be continued. Vice President Maruf Amin, the committee members and ministers partook in the meeting that highlighted the National Committee for Handling COVID-19 Pandemic and Economic Recovery's report. President Joko Widodo spoke of his intent to again observe one or two other simulation to ensure that all aspects concerning the vaccination program were truly prepared. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated the government of Indonesia is upbeat about Italy securing a deal of international taxation during the upcoming Group of 20 Economies or G20 presidency in 2021. As quoted by Antara News Agency on Monday, Minister Sri Mulyani during a virtual press conference stated G20 Finance Minister and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development OECD formulated international taxation principles related to digital taxation and the efforts to remove base erosion and profit shifting. However, she noted neither an agreement nor a deal was struck at today's G20 leaders' meeting. Indonesia is hoping that the deal would be secured under Italy's presidency next year. Indonesia plans to resume accepting visa application from residents of 8 countries that require a calling visa for entry starting Monday following a temporary suspension imposed due to the coronavirus pandemic. It was said by spokesperson of the Immigration Director General at the Law and Human Rights Ministry, Arvind Gumilang, as quoted by JakartaPost.com on Monday. He also said those on the list were Afghanistan, Guinea, Israel, North Korea, Cameroon, Liberia, Nigeria, and Somalia. The immigration office had conducted a service reopening trial on Friday. He further explained guarantors of residence in the 8 countries hoping to obtain Indonesians' visas could file requests through www.visa-online.imigrasi.go.id starting Monday, while hopeful workers from the 8 countries could upload their application documents through tka-online.kemnaker.go.id. Head of the National Population and Family Planning Agency BKKBN Hasto Wardoyo during a webinar themed Big Data What and For What held on Monday stated big data is an important asset that can determine the future of national development. As reported by Antara News Agency, Wardoyo explained how the data serve as a solid foundation for development will later be a determinant in the future. The agency had elaborated that big data is a crucial foundation for seeing real facts and phenomena on the field. Wardoyo further explained that through data, the BKKBN is able to accurately map out family problems in society and the causes of poverty in families. He cautioned without proper mapping owing to the lack of valid data, programs targeting family development will then prove to be futile. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. After weeks of defiance, President Donald Trump on Monday allowed officials to proceed with a transition to President-elect Joe Biden, giving his Democratic rival access to briefings and funding even as he failed to persist with efforts to fight the election results. As reported by Reuters.com on Monday, Trump, a Republican, has alleged widespread voters' fraud in the November 3rd election without providing evidence. Although he has not acknowledged Biden's victory, his announcement on Monday was the closest he has to come to admitting defeat. The General Services Administration, GSA, which is the federal agency that must sign off on presidential transition, told Biden on Monday that he could formally begin the handover process. GSA Administrator Emily Murphy said in a letter that Biden would now have access to resources that had been denied to him because of the legal challenges seeking to overturn his win. The European Union, Canada, and 11 other countries agreed on Monday to measures such as eliminating export curbs they believe should form the basis of the global deal to help tackle COVID-19 and future pandemics. As quoted by Reuters.com on Monday, the Ottawa Group will present its proposal to the World Trade Organization in mid-December in the hope its 164 members will sign up early in 2021. A European Commission official stated if it adopts something in early spring of next year, in March, that would still be a moment when this would be relevant for the management of the pandemic, and this could cover a busy period when vaccines were being made and distributed. The group, which does not include the United States or China, wants World Trade Organization members to commit to removing export restrictions on medical supplies. Some 70 still have them in place. China has launched a mission to try to retrieve rock samples from the moon. As reported by BBC.com on Tuesday, its robotic Chang'e 5 spacecraft departed the Wenchang Launch Complex on a Long March 5 rocket early on Tuesday morning local time, and if successful, should return to Earth in mid-December. It's more than 40 years since the Americans and Soviets brought home lunar rocks and soil for analysis. China aims to be only the third country to achieve this feat, which will be an extremely complex endeavor. It is a multi-step process that involves an orbiter, a lander, a sender, and finally a return component that uses a capsule to survive a fast and hot entry into Earth's atmosphere at the end of the mission. But confidence should be high after a series of well-executed lunar missions that started just over a decade ago with a couple satellite. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today, face-to-face learning by applying health protocols. Minister of Education and Culture Nadiem Anwar Makarim allowed regional heads and regional offices of the Ministry of Religious Affairs to determine face-to-face learning in their own regions. The policy will take effect in the event semester of the 2020-2021 school year or starting January 2021. Thereby, he asked schools to well prepare for it. This was stated by Minister Nadiem Makarim in the announcement of the implementation of even semester learning for the 2020-2021 academic year during the COVID-19 pandemic on Friday. He also said that the granting of this permit could be simultaneous or gradual, depending on the readiness of each region. The announcement was based on the joint decision of the four ministers, namely the Minister of Health, the Minister of Education and Culture, the Minister of Religion, and the Minister of Home Affairs. The announcement of the Minister of Education and Culture may be a relief for students and parents of students, especially those living in remote areas. Studying online during the restriction due to the COVID-19 pandemic is a challenge for them. The internet signal is not good, the inability to buy a device as the main tool for learning from home, and the lack of the ability of parents to accompany the children while studying are obstacles. Besides, the children are getting bored at home. The teachers also undergo the obstacles. Even though teachers and students get credits and free Wi-Fi assistance from the government for long-distance learning, without devices that are still relatively expensive, it is difficult for teachers to reach their students. It is often reported in the media that teachers are willing to walk farther to reach their underprivileged students so that they can study face-to-face because students do not have devices. However, the announcement of starting face-to-face learning is also greeted with concerns among educators, epidemiologists, and parents of students. The reason is that the pandemic is still ongoing in Indonesia and there are no signs of transmission rate decreasing. The government has determined that face-to-face learning starting in 2021 must be based on consideration by paying attention to effect in the fields. Now, it remains what the government takes to support this decision. The central government can assist regional governments to ensure adequate infrastructure in implementing health protocols in schools. Before the school open, surely the environment is cleaned. There are facilities for running water and soap for frequent hand washing. Close supervision of wearing masks and maintaining distance must also be applied. The year 2021 is approaching closely, while the pandemic has yet to show a decline, and face-to-face learning is not necessarily 100% possible. The regional government could consider conducting 50% face-to-face and 50% online learning. The important thing is that children's education is not left behind and health protocols can still be applied. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll start with 24th November 1914 when the birth of Professor Ruslan Abdul Ghani happens. Ruslan Abdul Ghani is an Indonesian statesman and politician who was born in Surabaya November 24, 1914. Since he was a teenager, Ruslan has been active in the Indonesian youth organization, which was considered by the Dutch colonialists as a dangerous organization. After Indonesian independence, he was involved in the Battle of 10th November 1945 in Surabaya against the Allied forces. During the reign of President Sukarno, Ruslan Abdul Ghani served as Minister of Information and Minister of Foreign Affairs. During the reign of President Suharto, Ruslan Abdul Ghani was the Indonesian ambassador to the United Nations. Let's move on. On November 24, 1991, the death of Freddie Mercury happens. Freddie Mercury is a singer-songwriter and record producer and lead vocalist of a British rock band, Queen. He is considered one of the best singers in the history of popular music. He's known for his flamboyant on-stage personality and for octave vocal range. Mercury also came in 18th place on Rolling Stone magazine's 100 Best Singer list in 2008 and was second on Rolling Stone Reader's Pick list in 2011. Mercury was described by the All Music website as one of the rock performers best of all time, with one of the best voices in any kinds of music. He died on November 24, 1991 of HIV/AIDS. Alan, today in history, on November 24, 2013, where Iran signs the nuclear deal. Iran and countries that are members of the P5 plus one group, namely the United States, Britain, China, French, Russia, and Germany, on November 24, 2013, in Geneva, Switzerland, signed an agreement to stop Iran's nuclear program. In return, Iran received economic sanction relief of more than $7 billion. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Dan aku mengerti betapa merindunya dirimu akan hadirnya diriku di dalam hari-harimu bersama lagi. Kau bertanya padaku kapan aku akan kembali lagi. Katamu kata kuasa melawan gejolak di dalam dada yang membara menahan rasa pertemuan kita nanti. Saat kau ada di sisiku, semua kata rindumu semakin membuatku tak berdaya menahan rasa ingin jumpa. Sedihmu yang
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on Indonesia urges the UN Security Council to stop violence in Afghanistan. In addition, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi attended the UN Security Council Area Formula meeting regarding the peace process in Afghanistan, which was held virtually on Friday. The meeting was co-hosted by members of the Estonian Security Council, Germany and Indonesia, along with the Afghan co-sponsor, Finland, Norway and Qatar. The Area Formula Summit with the topic What Can the Security Council Do to Support the Peace Process in Afghanistan, led by the Estonian Foreign Minister Urmas Riansulu and attended by President of Afghanistan Ashraf Ghani and Afghan Foreign Minister Mohammed Hanif Atmar and German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas, Norwegian Foreign Minister Ine Eriksen Søreide, Qatari Foreign Minister Mohammed bin Abdul Ar-Rahman Al-Thani, and Finnish Foreign Minister Pekka Haavisto. The meeting was also attended by a number of briefers, including the Special Representative of the Secretary General for Afghanistan, Deborah Lyons, member of the Afghan negotiation team, Fatima Gailani, and Asia Director of the International Crisis Group, Laurel Miller. As quoted on the page kamlu.go.id, Minister Retno emphasized the importance of the peace process in Afghanistan and put the people of Afghanistan at the center. According to the minister, UN member countries must act immediately and cannot wait anymore. She also explained that violence in Afghanistan must be stopped because it will only erode efforts for peace and trust among the Afghan people. She also remarked that the violence in Afghanistan continues and the casualties have reached more than 6,000 people this year. To realize this goal, Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized three important points. First, violence must be stopped immediately because it threatens the peace process and erodes the trust of the Afghan people. Second, the international community must increase its contribution in helping the peace process in Afghanistan. Increased international assistance is needed to create a more conducive situation on the ground, increase the capacity of the government, and at the same time sustain the economy of the Afghan people. Third, the synergy among various UN agencies needs to be strengthened to be able to further assist the peace process in Afghanistan. Minister Retno Marsudi also pointed out that this synergy is important not only to create a conducive situation on the ground, but also to better protect vulnerable groups, including women's empowerment. All levels of society must be involved in the process of reconciliation and country development. In addition, she reiterated Indonesia's commitment to keep supporting Afghanistan until the peace that people of Afghanistan have longed for. Meanwhile, President of Afghanistan Ashraf Ghani expressed his appreciation to the UN Security Council for its continued support for Afghanistan. Thereby, the UN Security Council is considered to have a major role in encouraging a ceasefire, implementing sanctions, supporting efforts to fight terrorists, including funding, and supporting regional connectivity efforts. The countries participating in the meeting expressed support for an inclusive peace process in Afghanistan and condemned the ongoing violence. A number of countries also expressed their appreciation for the roles of Indonesia and Germany so far as countries on the agenda of discussing Afghanistan at the UN Security Council. The UN Security Council Formula Area meeting aims to identify efforts that can be made by the UN Security Council and the international community to support the Afghan peace negotiation and ensure stability and peace in Afghanistan. In this Area Formula meeting, Indonesia is one of the co-sponsors of the joint meeting with Afghanistan, Estonia, Germany, Finland, Norway, and Qatar. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني
رانجن شوية بيتاي خوجو 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo de getting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Jatuh cinta, aku tak mudah untuk jatuh hati. Tapi mengapa kini kau tinggalkan aku? Kau memilih dia, ku bersumpah. Atas nama cinta, aku tak rela kini kau telah jadi miliknya. Ku jaga kesetiaan cinta, tapi kini kau kecewakan hatiku.
Kesetiaan cinta.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Warwara tradition from Maluku. Listener, people who live in Indonesia as a maritime country are familiar with various fishing methods. Some people catching fish by fishing, using net, spearing, and making circles in the sea. The method by making a circle in the sea is a tradition of K tribe who live in Maluku Regency and Tuau City. The tradition is still preserved by the local community from generation to generation, which currently becomes a tourism attraction. Warwarat or pull the rope is a traditional catching fish conducted by cave people by utilizing rattan, which is wrapped in yellow coconut leaves. The rattan that has been wrapped in yellow coconut leaves will be spread out in the sea by a group of residents, then the stretch is pulled to the land in a circle form. From this circle, the residents form it into a small circle, so that they direct the fish in the rattan circle to a place that has been prepared, namely Sero. The fishes which are obtained from the Warwara tradition will be collected and then shared to the people who attend the event. This tradition has just been carried out by people at Soindra Tourism Village, Kebesar District on November 12 and 13 on the island of Karodi. The people in Ohoi Soindra have prepared this Warwara event for approximately 3 weeks before. The tradition used materials taken from the forest, such as rattan, wood support, bamboo, rope, and others. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite, COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des Covid-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, We will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Saya Mahasiswa, or in English, I'm a student. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Saya Mahasiswa, or I am student. Rama's father asks about Kevin's and his parents' profession.
Sekarang Kevin bekerja sebagai apa?
Saya seorang mahasiswa Dharma Siswa, Pak.
Oh, begitu. Kalau boleh tahu, apa pekerjaan orang tua?
Ayah saya pengusaha, ibu saya dosen.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme. Saya mahasiswa. Saya mahasiswa, which means I am a student. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Anda bekerja sebagai apa? Anda bekerja sebagai apa? Which means what do you do? Mahasiswa Dharma Siswa. Mahasiswa Dharma Siswa. Which means Dharma Siswa students. Apa pekerjaan orang tua Anda? Apa pekerjaan orang tua Anda? Which means what do your parents do? Pengusaha. Pengusaha, which means businessman or entrepreneur. Dosen. Dosen, which means lecturer. If you want to explain about your own profession, you can use the sentence Saya seorang. Saya seorang, which means I am a. Or Saya bekerja sebagai seorang. Saya bekerja sebagai seorang, which means I work as a, like the following example. Sekarang Anda bekerja sebagai apa? Sekarang Anda bekerja sebagai apa? Which means what do you do now? Saya seorang mahasiswa Dharma Siswa. Saya seorang mahasiswa Dharma Siswa, which means I am a Dharma Siswa student. Here is an example of using a phrase to ask about someone's job or profession and the response given. Sekarang, apa pekerjaan Anda? Sekarang, apa pekerjaan Anda? Which means what is your job now? And the response given is Saya belum bekerja, Pak. Saya masih mahasiswa. Saya belum bekerja, Pak. Saya masih mahasiswa. Which means I'm not working yet, sir. I'm still a student. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation one more time.
Sekarang Kevin bekerja sebagai apa?
Saya seorang mahasiswa Dharma Siswa, Pak.
Oh, begitu. Kalau boleh tahu, apa pekerjaan orang tua?
Ayah saya pengusaha, ibu saya dosen.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next different topic.
Aku yang memikirkan, namun aku tak banyak berharap. Kau membuat waktuku tersita dengan angan tentangmu. Mencoba lupakan, tapi ku tak bisa. Mengapa
tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a mellow song entitled Pantai Pulau Dato, sung by Jailani Asjar. The song Pantai Pulau Dato was composed by Jailani Asjar. The composer tells about the beauty of the beach which is located in North Kayong Regency, West Kalimantan. Its lyric is told that the beach has beautiful scenery and clear water. In North Kayong Regency, there are also heritages of various kingdoms and the Dutch. Kayong people are so friendly, no wonder this regency is visited by many domestic and foreign tourists. The song Pantai Pulau Dato has a medium tempo and dedicated in Kayong language, which is a mellow language of the people in Kayong Utara region, West Kalimantan. Let's listen to the song Pantai Pulau Dato, sung by Jailani Asjar. Happy listening!
Bayang-bayang dengan keindahannya yang sampayangku.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.